on the appropriate Zoom buttons, or to press star 9 on a phone board on a phone. Board members will be called on by staff. LSB board members shall use chat to submit written motions to the LSB secretary. Board members online may vote by Zoom, raise hand, or by roll call, or by email with a code when needed. KPFA LSB meeting and email agreements. Audio recording of the meeting is available at kpftx.org. No video recording permitted at KPFA LSB meetings. Speak with each other respectfully using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name-calling or personal insults. Use attribution of sources and documentation when making statements or assumptions about other people or groups. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedures, and respecting the directions of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack during meetings. Raise hands to be recognized by the facilitator. Honor individual time allocations per share and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. Honor board confidentiality. KPFA local station board members are required to keep all job performance information related to KPFA management, paid and unpaid staff and volunteers confidential to be shared only within closed session LSB meetings. If a situation arises when a participant is not willing to honor the above agreements after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting or be removed from the meeting. And Carol, would you take stack? Take roll call, please.
Yes, this is roll call for November 18th, 2023, KPFA LSB meeting. Donna Carter. Are you here?
Yeah.
Donna's present. Aki Tanaka. Aki, are you here? He will come back. Andrea Turner, are you here?
Present.
Andrea's here. Sorry for all the dings. Brian Crowell, are you here? We'll come back. Carol Wolfley, I'm here. Catherine Tiktokin, are you here?
I'm here.
Catherine's here. Chris Corey, are you here?
Yep, I'm here.
Chris is here. Christina Huggins.
Yes, I'm here.
Christina is here. Right. Christine Pepin. Christine's not here. Daniel Borgstrom. we'll come back. Darlene Pagano. Darlene, are you here? I see your name.
Here.
Darlene is here. Donald Goldmacher. We'll come back. Frank Sterling asked for an excused absence. Fred Dodsworth.
Is here.
Fred is here. Elizabeth Milos.
Here.
Elizabeth is here. James McFadden.
I'm here.
James is here. Richard Walensky.
Here.
Richard's
Daniel here. Borgstrom just showed up.
Thank you. I'll go back. Leslie asked for an excused absence. Leslie Howard. Lily Kimura.
Here.
Lily's here. Mark Van Landuit.
Present.
Mark is here. Zach Caldevere.
Present.
Zach is here. Philip Muldari.
Here.
Sherry Gendelman as a non-voting member.
Yes, present.
Sherry. Tom Voorhees. Tom is not here. We'll come back. Sharon Adams as a non-voting member.
Here.
Sharon is here. Okay. Aki Tanaka. Okay. Brian Crowell. No answer. Christine Pepin. No answer. Daniel Borgstrom.
Present. Daniel's present.
Okay. Daniel's here. Donald Goldmacher.
He just texted me that he can't make it and he wants to ask for an excused absence.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And Tom Voorhees. Okay, so I propose, I would like to make a motion. Oh, we do have a quorum. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we have quorum.
Yes, we do have quorum. And, I would like to make a proposal to excuse the, those who are absent.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it, Chris.
Any objection?
Is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. We'll move on to the agenda. The agenda was set out ahead of time, so do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved to approve the agenda.
Do you have a second?
I second.
Okay.
Is there any objection? The agenda is approved. So we'll move on. The KPFA finances, Pacifica finances and treasury reports. So, is this where I would start my report, Carol?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to have.
I'm asking for the floor.
For what purpose?
I couldn't get to my mute in order to present, to be able to present something to the agenda, to add something to the agenda. I couldn't get to my mute button in time. You didn't allow much time to do that.
Take a 2/3 vote at this time, but tell her to ask her to state what it is.
You can state what it is. It would take a 2/3 vote at this time since the agenda was just approved.
Yeah, but you didn't give much time for anybody to object to be able to press the mute button in time. You know, I mean, you should probably give a little bit more than a few
point
seconds.
Point of order.
Excuse me.
It's not an argument. I asked you to state what you wish to present.
Oh, okay. I wish to present the resolution, a resolution on Palestine.
You want to put it on the agenda under new business?
That would be under new business.
Okay.
On the agenda.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Hi.
I sent it to the KPFA LSB list.
Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Who's talking?
Donna.
Yes?
Donna. I don't know. I haven't, you know, commented very many on these meetings, but it's sort of come around that people can't find the last audio of the last meeting at the on the website.
We are dependent upon Otis to put it up for us, is my understanding. Is that right, Carol?
Yes.
So it's a Pacifica function, and sometimes it takes longer than other times. We don't know why. It's probably because it's only one person doing it, and he's got a lot on his plate. But I guess, Carol, could you inquire about that?
Yeah. I'm a little lost about where we are on the agenda. I think it's to bring these... where are we on the agenda?
We're on item 4.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask Sharon to help me with screen sharing from the presentation.
Point of information, what happened? This is Lily Kimura. What happened to Liz's request to add that Palestine?
It's on the agenda as new business since she... was stating that I'm going to allow it because she stated that she didn't have enough time to get to her mute button.
Okay, what are we going to discuss that? Or because I would make an objection because I made
it's under new business and we will discuss it at that time.
All right, thank you.
Sure, thank you, Lily.
If we don't get to it, go to the next meeting.
And this, I'm going to give a presentation of my deep concern about the status of KPFA right now and the, dire financial situation that we find ourselves in for the entire Pacifica Foundation. This will be my last meeting as LSB chair, And I'm going to detail some of the decisions made by the Pacifica Board of Directors that I believe put KPFA in a dire situation. Although we are currently paying all of our bills, and as presented, the budget was presented by Maria, we were in the black. I'm going to support the outlay with documents that will support the evidence that I'm going to share with our LSB after. So the documents will be shared and available to you after the presentation. I'm going to ask that Sharon puts up the, I did want to say just a little bit about my background. Not that it was critical at this point. I won't be on the board anymore, but I've been on a lot of boards before. 34 years of being a union vice president first and then executive vice president for the last 12 of, CWA locals. The last 12 was CWA local 9415 out of Oakland.
I'm sorry, point of order. There's people that have been sending me emails saying that the Zoom link that is posted on APFT says the meeting's going to start 11:45, and it seems that they're not being let in for some reason or another for this, to this meeting.
I got the notice I got said 11. I don't know where they got 11:45 from.
From KPFTX. Is it possible that you could put the actual Zoom on the chat so that we can send it out to people?
Christina?
Yes?
Because the Zoom link came from Carol, that would explain the discrepancy if something's wrong on KPFTX. And anyone who can respond to people with questions, just forward that email from Carol, which not only has a Zoom link, but the minutes and the agenda. Can you do that? Can you forward those? Forward that to
Elizabeth. Elizabeth can do that.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Yes, go ahead and do that.
I'm actually not the secretary, so I would assume that Carol should send it out.
Carol's not getting the request.
Point of order. Point of order.
What, state your point of order.
This is not on the agenda. Can we go back to the agenda item, please?
Thank you. We're going to go back to the agenda item. Anyone who's free to forward it.
I don't know.
Point of order.
Point of order or whatever, Madam Chair.
Point of order, Carol.
State your points of order. There's several.
Can I go first?
Yes, you were first.
I will go to KPFTX and see what's happening and see if I can adjust that. And I can, and we can also, anybody can forward that emails from me to anybody who is sending a request.
Thank you. So the situation has been taken care of.
As best we can.
Yes. So I'm going to ask that Carol puts up, not Carol, I'm sorry, the letter from Julianne Mosler. On March 1st, 2017, there was a letter sent to...
Do you see it?
Pardon me?
Yes.
That's it.
Okay. I can't quite see what you see, so just... Okay.
Okay, I'll make sure that I try to be as clear as I can be.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you helping out by posting up the documents. There was an investigation of Pacifica at that time by the Attorney General, and they requested this. This was the final request that they made of Pacifica, saying that they needed materials within 30 days of this letter, and please provide the requested documents within 30 days of the date of this letter. And the three things they asked for were documents for showing replenishment of restricted assets, complete copy of Pacifica's independent audit, and a written plan for either establishing Pacifica's financial stability or dissolving the organization. And the next thing I would like you to put up, if you would, Sharon, is March 30th, 2017. It should be just two pages that you've got of that document. The Pacifica Financial Recovery and Stabilization Plan.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, it's a little bit.
That's fine. That's the first page. And if you could.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
Yeah. Could you
scroll? Hard for me to see what I'm sharing. Okay. I see. Okay. Now I got it. Yeah.
You're doing great. If you could show the second page.
Did she have to click on?
Yeah. And this is the plan that was proffered to the Attorney General in response to that letter. And the contingency plan states if and only if we do not see significant improvements in the finance of WBAI, New York, and WPFW, Washington, in the next 4 to 6 months, Pacifica's executive team is committed and determined to take additional measures to restore Pacifica's network finances to financial health. Now, at that time, actually WPFW worked really hard and they were able to get their finances in better shape. WBAI was not, unfortunately. And the contingency plan that they delineate is much of the programming of the station could be temporarily replaced with programs produced at other Pacifica stations for at least a few months and may need only a skeleton crew to operate in such a case as described above. This would reduce expenses and save Pacifica from further liabilities. That's a contract. The contract was accepted by the Attorney General because there was a demand. The demand was responded to and it was accepted. And that is in law considered to be a contract. The next one I would like put up, please, is the motion, Sharon, that's the PMB approved the motion of June 22nd, 2017. So this is a motion approved as we were in dire financial straits at that time, as we are now, whereas the national office has been driven into a state of deterioration and dysfunction to great degree by the significant absence of central service payments from several stations, totaling a deficit of $800,000 over the past 2 years, and whereas the national office is currently having to address financial burdens and emergencies, which have been hidden, ignored, and left unaddressed for many years, and now threaten the very existence of the foundation. Therefore, be it resolved that all station managers are hereby given the mandate to manage their stations as necessary to successfully generate enough revenue to pay the following three expenses each month in full and on time: the staff payroll, health care costs, and the allocated central service payment. It is understood that income and expenses are not fixed and fluctuate, which is so. The first month this policy begins will be July 2017. This was never rescinded, but it was never implemented. So they were attempting to do something about the finances, but nothing was done. And they continue to deteriorate. I would like to go to the CF report of the interim CFO to the Pacifica National Board of 10-6-2019.
Technical difficulties. You can talk. Okay. I'll try to find that. It's a bit complicated.
It was 4 on the.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay.
Point of order.
State your point of order.
I just want to let everybody know the new link, the correct link, is now posted directly on the homepage of KPFTX and on the agenda page. So it should have popped up on the KPFA page. So hopefully everybody can get in now.
Thank you, Carol.
Go ahead and speak. You
don't have to. Okay, so in 2019, that's the correct. Thank you, Sharon. In 2019, Pacifica was in particularly dire straits. The report of the interim CFO to the Pacifica National Board was done on 10-6-2019, and this is from the NETA, which is a neutral party that was hired by Pacifica to be their interim CFO. She states, in the follow-up to the cash flow documents that were presented at the last meeting, I want to stress that the current cash flow situation is dire. Uniquely, WBAI continues to not be able to fully fund their payroll, health benefits, or central services. No other station has required this type of consistent help in meeting their basic operating needs. This is putting a severe strain on national office cash, to the point that we no longer have a reserve to cover the next payroll for national office or Pacifica Radio Archives. It's saying national office has covered around $90,000 of payroll, and health benefits for BAI this fiscal year, and may do without $186,000 of central services to help with vendor payments. I'm just highlighting. I'm not going to read the whole thing. So WBAI continuing deficits are putting all of Pacifica at immediate risk because of using central services funds from other stations to cover their deficits instead of paying for services essential to Pacifica's financial survival. If swift action is not taken, we will become behind on vendor payments and will begin to lose services. And the last sentence is, I'm not sure we can keep in good conscience, keep WBAI staff working with the being certain of our ability to pay them for their time. The next one I'd like you to show, if you would be the email from the GM at WBAI. And again, these will be shared with our,
Oh no. Not this one?
No.
Email.
It's an email.
What's the title of it?
It is, from Berthold Reimers, WBA LSB meeting 9/11/19.
I don't see that one. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll just go ahead and read it. It is an email and we will be sharing this again with everyone. Dear LSB members, please distribute to other board members not on this list and print your own copy. WBAI is not able to cover its payroll of $25,000 due Wednesday on a 9/11/2019. A national office who has its own financial problems will not be able to cover it and wait for us to generate the money in the October drive. One solution will probably be that WBAI does not get paid until the money is generated or found. The month of September has only generated $7,000 in revenue so far, when we expected at least $75,000. Remember, our monthly bill is around $125,000. We will be short by $165,000 this fiscal year, and most of it is being felt now. So I would like to comment that it is illegal to have people continue to work for you if you're unable to pay them under both federal and state labor laws. And there have been a lot of people who've said that there was nothing financial about the action that took place at WBAI and that it was some kind of a, we don't like you or a coup or something like that. I don't think anybody has anything against a station. I think that we just want them to be able to be successful, and the Pacifica National Board has not helped WBAI to become successful with making management, in managing the station. That's their responsibility. I'm going to ask for the WBAI. Oh, that's the email. Correct. The next one I'd ask you to put up is the one you had just now. I believe, Sharon, the WBAI Build Back Plan. This is a plan that was proposed by Mr. Vernile when he was the interim executive director. And he said, I do not have a lot of time or options to find an ideal solution to the financial crisis, as well as deal with the various compliance issues I encountered, ones that we are still facing. I'm just highlighting again because it's a lot. I would really appreciate it if people would and urge people to read the entire document that you will have at your disposal. And the other on page two. Is that in mind, I've attached three scenarios for us to review. One is the rebuild WBAI plan, which is attached to this document, return WBAI as it was planned, and the other is Pacifica across America on WBAI. This solution, due to the payroll funding shortfall crisis, was always meant to be a temporary measure. The immediate litigation that followed left no time to develop this idea and slowed these efforts considerably. The hope is that we make significant efforts to rebuild WBAI with the support of the greater New York community. I still believe this is possible, that we can raise the funds to construct a proper new home for BAI, sustainably staffed to provide expanded services to our New York listeners. The foundation must continue to live in the real world of dollars and cents. We should look to our founder's vision for guidance, never compromising our foundation's core principles, matters of law, our responsibilities to our staff, and providing inspiring programming to our listeners. I hope these budgets and the rebuild WBAI plan will set the table for a realistic discussion. And attached to this is in quite detail the plan. So there was a plan to rebuild WBAI. It was not merely just to take it off the air. And I was chair at the time, so I was being, these documents were shared with me at the time. I'd like to go to the September 30th, 2019 audit. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's sideways, but what it shows is that for the fiscal year, which ends, a lot of, some of our own members didn't realize what a fiscal year is, but the fiscal year actually ends September 30th every year. And this ended September 30th, 2019. And if you will look, KPFA was at $3 million in the black and change. And at this point, WBAI, this is accumulated, is at $8,289,185 in the red, far more than any other station or unit. And a lot of people don't realize the P&O is, it's a unit. It is not something that manages everything. It's just another unit, but it's definitely in the black. I mean, not in the black. It's not doing well. So KPFA is doing okay, but WBAI is over $8 million in arrears there accumulated over the years. So the next I'd like you to show is the transcript of George Walter at the May 7th PNB meeting. This was very concerning for us because, again, this is somebody who is, George Walter is a senior controller responsible for the audit preparation part. And he's a CMA and a CPA, as he says. He's works for NEDA, and he's stating his real concern about the two loans that were taken in the sale of the building. And he's saying that there was concern that it was making one station look unusually poor and another station look unusually good. So there was a non-accountant consultant brought in to the staff to review the financials. And a number of entries were proposed. We worked through most of them. The real problematic one was being ordered to move about $6,000 of gain on the sale of KPFA to the national office from KPFA. For those that got the document, there's a summary of the entry there showing $1.1 million for the sale and how that was dispersed, mostly to pay off the supporter loan, accrued interest, and set up escrow for the nonprofit loan that was taken out to extinguish debt accumulated by WBAI for tower rent. With a little bit of cash left over, about $130,000, and that was deposited in the NO account, not likely with a lot of deliberation. There was a lot of confusion at the time. CFO was gone. There was IED. The main element here is the net gain was $727,000. The interest was by default charged to WBAI because that was the bridge loan to keep that transmitter site in business until the larger loan came through. And that since has been moved to the network national office at their wish. This was done by the non-professional consultant, non-accountant. And they went, the board went ahead with that. And could you please mute yourself, whoever is unmuted? So my rationale for keeping the gain at KPFA is primarily the asset was on the books of KPFA for decades and purchased with KPFA funding. There is no objective basis to move it to the P&O or anywhere else. In fact, doing so will leave a permanent deficit in KPFA's net asset. Also doing so will violate several general accounting principles or GAAP, especially consistency and sincerity, where we strive to provide accurate and impartial depictions of the company's financial situation. Also doing so would violate parts of the IMA, Statement of Ethical Professional Practice, and I am CMA, Certified Management Accountant, as Anita Sims, but those areas would be competence, integrity, and credibility. They went ahead and did this anyway, the board, and this is moving money around on the books without making any changes functionally to the stations that are not doing well. And that's the problem of the management of the board, because they're not dealing with the elephant in the room. They're just moving around and making it look different on the books. I would ask if you would put up 2021, Sharon, the sideways 2020. Yeah, I can do that. At this point, KPFA is still over $4 million in the black, But WBAI is now $8,671,480 in the red, accumulated. So they went on to accumulate more debt. With the Pacifica National Office, the board did not take any action, no corrective action to help them. We want to see WBAI succeed. It's one of the best, in the largest media market in the world. I'm not taking questions at this point. This is a presentation. I'm going to move on to the loss of money of the, to the CPB Corporation. And that would be CPB March 28th, 2013 letter. This is a letter that is of many pages, but essentially what it's stating is that Pacifica overstated the non-federal financial support in the fiscal year 2009 and 2010. And by $2,998,885. They didn't comply with a lot of other things. I'm not going to detail all of them, but this is about the recommendation on page 3 is that Pacifica must refund $137,506 in radio CSG overpayments as described in the, and I suggest people read this letter because this is the letter that really, if we had conformed and conformed to the demands made in this letter, we would not have lost CPB funding for any of the stations. So this is very, very critical letter. There are a number of documents that they asked for. They asked for audits that are up to date. And they want these things deliverable to CPB by April 30th, 2013. I would like to go with the June 11th, 2013 document.
What is that document?
It's Fundraising Ethics and WBAI.
Okay, I'm not sure I have that one, but let me just try okay. This one. Let's just try.
I will be providing these to everybody on the board. This is from June 11th, and this is an ombudsman, CPB ombudsman. Sorry, kind of hard to say that word. 2 years ago, he assumed this position 2 years ago, and he had said, says that it seems like those some stations of Pacifica don't play by the same set of rules that most public radio stations adhere to, particularly when it came to issues of objectivity and balance. But so far during my tenure as ombudsman, there have not been a significant number of complaints about any of the stations until now. They had Lewis Bedrock, a retired science teacher from Roselle, New Jersey, says that he complained that the Pacifica station in New York City is engaging in ethically challenged fundraising activities. It used to raise money by offering memberships to its listeners and by soliciting donations in addition to membership fees. For many years, this formula worked, Mr. Bedrock writes. In recent years, because of changes in management and programming, the station's tactics for fundraising has changed. With a payroll that has swollen to approximately $1.5 million, marathons now last over a month and are held every 3 months. Sometimes they're held more often for longer periods. In what I believe is a violation of the station's nonprofit status, WBAI raises money by selling books, CDs, and DVDs at greatly inflated prices. He goes on to say the items for sale are materials produced by employees of the station. As a recovering cancer patient, I'm offended by the hawking of materials that offer outlandish alternative cures for cancer. Curing cancer by diet and special programs that the government and medical establishment repress is the theme of many of the station's premiums. For more than a month, we've tried to contact the general manager and other employees at BAI to no avail. They have not responded to our email messages and calls. And he's saying that they're just not answering him. If you can find the July 2013 WBAI revisited letter from the same ombudsman, this is all contributing to our losing CPB funding, and that's one of the reasons I'm highlighting it for you. And on July 10th, he wrote another one, and these were all posted online. He said, the station is fundraising almost constantly because it is in such severe financial straits. The station does not accept underwriting, so it is up to each producer to create its own fundraising incentives. And The key element is the last page where he says, as for a response from the station's GM, Mr. Reimers, Ms. Katz said, we can call him 100 times and he will not be responding. As busy as I am, he's busier, she said. No response from the general manager to the CPB ombudsman. And that's something that the Pacifica Foundation is responsible for. If they do proper management of this, they would have contacted him. And the next one I would ask you to put up there is the May 22nd, 2020 letter from CPB. This is when we lost our funding. We were cut formally. All of the stations, Pacifica was cut formally before they were suspended while they were waiting to get the information from the foundation. And they did not get the information or the money, which is in the big scope of things, $137,506 that they were supposed to pay in 2013. They had not paid that. They had not provided the documents requested. They had not conformed to the demand letter from CPB. And at this point in time, they wrote a letter saying, you are now informing the Pacifica Foundation is no longer eligible for CPB's Radio Community Service Grant Program, effective May 31st, 2020. That's the termination date. So this is the formal letter of termination. And that was, not only did we lose funding from them, we lost the licensing covered by the music licensing agreements that the CPB negotiates and pays for. So we were on the hook for paying a lot more money at all of the stations for the various amounts of money for the music licensing agreements. At this point in time, Pacifica paid the $137,506, but that took them all those years to pay from 2013 to 2020. And that was not sufficient to make us eligible for the requirements. They wanted all the requirements met, which if you would, put up the senior VP of CPB funding letter from the senior vice president of CPB funding who I wrote. And I asked her because people were saying we would be eligible if we've paid the money and we're a lot better off now. And what she states at the top is the most important part. Nothing has changed regarding the Pacifica Foundation's ability to apply for this community service grant program. It is still necessary for the Pacifica Foundation to conform to the terms of the March 28th, 2013 letter sent by the CPB regarding eligibility. So the letter of 2013 that states a number of things that Pacifica has to give, a lot of documents and the money that they did give at this point, but they still need to comply with all of the documentation requested and demanded by the CPB in order to reapply for it, which they have to go through a brand new process. And I would ask, so that's the CPB portion that I'm outlining, detailing this because I'm extremely concerned about the financial management of the foundation. And I would like you to go to the Ford Green document, if you could, Sharon. This is from the council at the time that the loan was taken out. This is another one of the things that has put us in a dire financial situation. And this is something, all these documents are public, by the way, and this was part of a court case, so it's public document. Dear Pacifica National Board of Directors, and he says that he got an email from four different directors asking him to review and advise regarding the FJC loan document. Time is of the essence. So they want him to reply by 3 p.m. PST, Thursday, March 22nd, 2018. And what he's stating is it's mailed in last night, 156 single-spaced pages. On its face, your request is ludicrous in that without any prior notice to expect a response in less than 24 hours is inherently unreasonable. Further, as all of you know, because you voted to do so, for the last 60 days, the PNB has deliberately frozen out both CFO Agarwal and me from receiving documents, emails, and discussions pertaining to the FJC loan. which you now unreasonably expect my immediate and comprehensive response. With your prior actions and those limits in mind, in my opinion, the so-called FJC loan constitutes a patent and abject betrayal of the PNB's fiduciary duties owed to maintain the well-being of Pacifica Foundation, Inc. Indeed, it is self-destructive. At issue is the $3.7 million loan that will be secured by the real properties in Houston, Los Angeles, and Berkeley, which house KPFT, KPFA, and KPFK, respectively, in which Pacifica largely owns free and clear. He goes into a lot of details about why this is a betrayal financially, but there's no plan to pay back. There was never any plan to pay back when they, and that was a big deal that we talked about at our board when we had meetings at this time. In my opinion, based on the impracticality and unreasonably limited time I've had to review the 156 single space pages that comprise the FJC loan, it appears to be highly self-destructive and a betrayal of the duty of the PNB to ensure Pacifica's economic and practical survival. I guess it's very concerning in particular because right now we still owe, it ended up being $3.265 million loan. And I believe we still owe a great deal of that. And it was what many of us would consider to be a neoliberal loan, which is interest-only payments at a very high percentage rate and a bit with a balloon payment at the end. And I want to make this very clear because we're always accused of, oh, you hate BAI or you don't like BAI. BAI is a neutral entity. It's a part of the Pacifica Foundation. We want WBAI to be successful, both financially and in their programming. This is not an attack on them. This is letting the people know that BAI has not been managed to be successful. It has lost money for at least the past 10 years every year. And with the Pacifica Foundation, the national board not doing anything to help make it productive and successful. And that's on the board as far as I'm concerned. So that is my presentation. We're going to go to Sharon's presentation.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Christina. I'll just go quickly into my treasurer's report, then we can take questions. I'll try to make this relatively quick. But I'm not going to go through the litany. I just want to comment on one thing that wasn't in my report, but the CPB is still requiring compliance with those 2013 requirements. That was mentioned at the last NFC meeting, which was on Tuesday. So those requirements still must be met. Okay, I'm not going to go through the litany of debt and unpaid bills that Pacifica has. I'll just mention that there's no money to pay insurance. I think we all know that. And there's no money to pay for legally required audits. I mean, that's very crucial. In addition, some stations have significant debts that contribute to the overall dire financial condition of Pacifica. Again, this is not an attack on WBAI. It's just we have to deal with the reality of the finances, which is what I've been trying to do. So WBAI currently owes several months of rent on its tower. WBAI also owes several months of rent for its studio space. It owes several thousands of dollars to its call center, and the call center is refusing to port the phone number. It's its Fundriver phone number. They're refusing to port it back to WBAI until WBAI pays. WBAI is not alone. KPFK owes tens of thousands of dollars for water and power. Okay, so the city of LA is kind of allowing them to stay on the air by not making them pay their bill. And WPFW owes several months of rent on studio space. I could go on. KPFA, in contrast, has zero outstanding bills. Zero. Okay? So, but rather than deal with the actual financial crisis, Pacifica management is taking steps to manipulate the books, in my opinion, to make KPFA's books look better to make WBAI's books look better while making KPFA's books look worse. None of the actions being contemplated will actually improve the finances. The actions simply manipulate the numbers to make WBAI look better and KPFA look worse. So, for example, there's a currently there's discussion to eliminate all sort of debt, you know, that various of the units owe prior to 2017. Well, the executive director has used the words monopoly money to describe the finances within Pacifica. That's only partly true because all of the debt that Pacifica owes to fight to KPFA is apparently considered monopoly money and doesn't need to be repaid. But the money, all of the money that KPFA gives to Pacifica is the real money from its actual donors donating their hard-earned dollars to KPFA. And that is real money that Pacifica takes. And once the loan of the real money is made by KPFA to Pacifica, now it seems Pacifica is going to cancel all the debt that it owes back. And currently, the intercompany loans are $795,000 that's owed to KPFA from the intercompany loans. So, and then just to make the point that this is not the first time, this has been done before. In 2006, Pacifica wrote off over $1.4 million of intercompany debt that was owed to KPFA. This is now considered long-term debt that apparently is not carried anywhere on the books. It's just disappeared. In other words, monopoly money. And apparently Pacifica management is trying to do this again. While, as Christina pointed out, you know, WBAI owes $8 million to Pacifica and KPFA is $4 million in the black. And then the other thing that's happening at the national level right now with regard to the ways of manipulating the books, I'm using the word manipulating, that's my opinion, to make it look better for WBAI and make it look worse for KPFA, is the central services formula that has been revised. But before I get into that, I actually want to make a comment on, because I'm just going through my notes here, so let me just go in order. Yeah, on the central services, as I said before, Pacifica currently, through intercompany loans, Pacifica currently owes KPFA over $795,000, and KPFA has an agreement with Pacifica that its contributions to central services will be deducted against that $795,000. So every month, KPFA is supposed to pay $34,000 in central services to the national office. Instead of KPFA paying, the debt is being reduced by $34,000 a month. That is the current agreement between Pacifica and KPFA. And yet, during the National Finance Committee meetings, what we hear is from the executive director is that KPFA has not paid central services this year. That is entirely incorrect. The Pacifica's debt to KPFA has been reduced. That's considered payment in the real world. And also, in addition to that, KPFA has been making monthly payments of real money of $11,000 into the national office, but the national office doesn't consider that a central services payment. Again, it's just one of those payments that KPFA makes that doesn't get counted towards anything. We're just expected to sort of give up our money. But going to what the new plan is for the central services, yes, I did want to actually share my own screen here. So let me just try to do that real quick. Hold on. I gotta like find it. Yeah, this one. Oh wait, I can't share. Okay, hold on. Just hold on. I got to do it this way. Okay, now I can share it. Hold on. Share screen. This one. Yeah. You see it? No, now you see it. Do you see that? Are you seeing? Yeah. Okay. So this was provided.
Yes. It's really small. Can you make it bigger?
Does that make it bigger?
A little bit more.
Okay, hold on. Let me just try to make it big, big, big.
There.
Okay, hold on. Wait. Let me just adjust things on my screen a little bit. And you guys can look at that and contemplate.
It's off the screen.
I know. I'm trying to adjust here. So.
Thank you. I'm just letting
you. I gotta like move things. There. How's that? Okay.
Yes.
Much better.
And I'll try to make it even a little bigger. I know, it's hard to read these numbers.
Thank you.
There.
Yeah, so I just want to make this point, okay? We, the KPFA-LSB, passed a budget in August. Our budget that we passed showed a $10,000 surplus. However, apparently, there's a new central services formula, and when this central services formula is applied, KPFA has a $222,170 loss, okay? So nothing has changed in our finances at all. Just the central services calculation has changed, and that brought our budget from being $10,000 in the black to over $220,000 in the red, purely from the change in the central services payment. And here you can see that if KPFA didn't have to make any central services payment here on this net income net loss line under KPFA in the orange here, or whatever that color is, without making any central services payments, we'd have almost a $500,000 of money, okay? And that's just to make that point. But under the new formula, with all the stations paying 15%, that's the new formula of total revenue, KPFA will be paying $719,000 of a total central services payment of $1.6 million. In other words, we'll be paying almost half, okay, based on this new formula that puts our profitable station into the red. Okay, that is what this does. It takes our profitable station that still is profitable, it's still paying all its bills, and it turns into a station that looks like it has a deficit. It doesn't bring in any more money into this Pacifica. It doesn't change the programming. It doesn't change management. It doesn't change the finances. It changes the numbers to make KPFA look worse. And in my opinion, that's just a prelude to them then coming back and saying, we're all one giant unit. You, KPFA, have a bunch of staff. Now you have a loss. We're gonna lay off staff to bring you into a financial balance. That's my opinion of where this is heading. So anyway, that concludes my treasurer's report.
Thank you, Sharon. Elizabeth?
Yes, I really, really wish that you would send these information beforehand so we would have the rest of the LSB members would have an opportunity to view them.
Do you have a question, Elizabeth?
Yes. When you're talking about the supposedly unethical practices of fundraising of WBAI, I believe that you're missing out on a lot of information has to do with situations where, like, for example, $400,000 check.
That's not a question.
Okay. All right. I'm very sorry. Why is the October 18th session that you're referring to in that letter, a meeting that I was at, by the way, why is that not posted in minutes, for example? And because that plan that you are presenting that apparently was from John Vernil was, I do not remember that plan being presented at all at that meeting at all. And my question is, are you in support of bringing back Vernil as the executive director? Because that's what it appears like. I mean, I'm asking that question honestly because he's the one that actually sued Pacifica and the 300.
He did not sue Pacifica. Let me answer the question. Okay. First of all, I'm telling the truth and I'm supporting everything that I said with documentary evidence. Evidence is something that is not always used around here. There are many accusations. Mr. Vernil was terminated and there were things that happened. And if you want to read the court documents, you can find them in there. I don't believe that you were on the board in 2019 when that whole thing occurred. So I'm not sure what you're referring to. You couldn't have been at that meeting.
As public comment.
Well, this was sent to the PNB. You were not on the PNB at that time. That letter that I wrote, that was in the court docs, that was sent to the entire PNB by Mr. Vernil. I'm just bringing out the truth.
I was at the senior center at the public KPFA LSB meeting where the whole issue of WBAI closure was brought up. I went to that meeting and I was there personally as was also Tracy Rosenberg.
Sure. What, do you have a question?
Yeah. I'm wondering why that letter was not presented at the meeting of the KPF LSB because I know that plan was not.
I will answer your question.
Thank you.
Because it did not go to the KPFA LSB. That letter went to the Pacific and National Board of Directors. And I found that both, I didn't even have the letter at the time. That's why. I'll go on to the next question. James McFadden.
As a member of the National Finance Committee, am I allowed to say something about what's just been said?
You have a question. You can ask a question.
I can only ask questions. I can't give a report back for the National Finance Committee, as Sharon just did.
You will have an opportunity to make a PNB report when it comes out of reports. Do you have a question about what we just
said? Okay, so they do have a question then. Has KPFA been paying its central services this year? Have they paid all their central services this year, or has there been some kind of bookkeeping sleight of hand involving the $305K for Reneal?
Well, it's interesting that you...
I can answer that if you want, Christina.
Go ahead and answer it, Sharon.
Yeah. Okay, there's no bookkeeping sleight of hand. It's amazing, James, that you think that. But what has happened, as I explained just 5 minutes ago, is that the intercompany loans that Pacifica owes to KPFA are $795,000. In other words, almost a million, okay? And so each month, KPFA is deducting what it should be paying in central services from the amount of money that Pacifica owes it. That's not manipulation of numbers, okay? That's actual finances. You know, if you owe the bank and you pay them, I mean, it's they owe us money. And to address, I just want to make the point that, let me just finish. KPFA is paying $11,000 every month to the national office.
Thank you. Carol, you have a question? Carol?
Muted.
Yes, Madam Chair, I have a motion, regarding the central service fees. And may I read my motion?
It should be done under the business.
You may.
Okay.
I just heard the parliamentarian said it should be done under new business, and you are contradicting the parliamentarian's position by allowing her to read this motion at this time.
The chair is in charge, and the chair makes the decisions, not the parliamentarian.
Well, I challenge the decision of the chair, and I ask for a vote regarding I'm challenging the decision of this chair.
Okay. Well, we can take a vote. First, and that takes 2/3 to overrule my decision. And we have a practice in our meetings and on this board of bringing motions in at the time that are attendant to reports. So it is not out of order because it is a tradition that we have followed. So, we will take a vote now. The vote is on shall we consider Carol's motion at this time? That's what the vote is. So all those in favor of considering Carol's motion.
I'd like a roll call, please. Voice and a name of a
that's
vote
fine. We can
person,
do roll
please
call. Carol, would you roll call people who are, we'll go one at a time then.
Okay, Donna Carter.
No.
Donna, no. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Aki, yes. Andrea Turner?
Muted.
We wake her up.
She's muted.
Andrea? Just call out if you hear this. Carol Wolfley, yes. Catherine Tiptakan?
Yes.
Catherine, yes. Chris Corey?
Yes.
Chris Corey, yes. Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Christina, yes. Daniel Borgstrom?
Daniel, no.
Darlene Pagano?
Abstain.
Darlene abstain. Frank Sterling? Excuse, sorry. Fred Dodsworth?
Yes.
Frank showed up, actually. I believe he's here.
Frank, are you here? He asked for an excused absence. Elizabeth Milos?
No.
Elizabeth, no. James McFadden?
No.
James, no. Richard Walensky? I'll come back to Richard. Lily Kimura?
Yes.
Lily, yes. Mark Van Landuit?
Yes.
Mark, yes. Zach Calvier?
Yes.
Zach, yes. Philip Maldari?
Yes.
Philip Maldari, yes. And that's it. The motion fails for lack of 2/3.
10 in favor of hearing, 10 in favor of considering, 4 no and 1 abstention.
We will consider.
So we will.
I'm voting yes.
We will consider Carol's motion.
So that's 11
Tom,
in favor.
Tom is voting no.
That's 5.
Okay.
Richard is voting yes.
Okay.
That's 5 no and, sorry, 5 no and that makes 11 yes. Okay.
And abstentions are, okay.
And recognize Carol for her motion.
Okay. Motion is the KPFA local station board strongly urges the Pacifica National Board to rescind the motion adopted by the PNB on May 18th, 2023 regarding changes in central service fees formula that was passed by the National Finance in April of 2023. And it is posted and.
Do I have a second?
Second.
And I believe that before we second it, actually, I believe that Chris had an addition to my motion.
And Aki is now here.
Oh, yeah. Chris, did you have an addition to my motion?
No, that was the second motion, Carol, but I would like to comment on this motion if I could.
We will have discussion.
Okay. And
first, well, it's been moved in second. First, I'm going to let Carol motivate her motion. Go ahead, Carol.
Yes. What this formula was passed by the PNB without people understanding the changes that happened in the central service fees. And there was some confusion about people saying, oh, well, it's always been done based on all revenue. So the change in the central service fees, that one change was that it went from being just on what 15% of what comes on in listener donations on the website by people's sustainers and on the call-ins to covering donations of cars and grants and bequests. So what that does is it substantially increases what KPFA is being asked to pay, and also the what goes to the Pacifica National Archives is going from 2% to 5%. This not only hurts KPFA, it is a severe attack on WPFW as well. And there are some irregularities and problems with the central service fees formula in terms of it's been the same for a number of years. And so, like for KPFK, that has lost income, it's still being expected to pay what it was paying before. All the stations have lost income, and so they're still being expected to pay the same kind of fees. So there could be some adjustments in that way, but to penalize KPFA, by asking it to pay close to $250,000 more annually in central service fees is, it will turn KPFA into a deficit station. KPFA brings in more than twice the amount of money as any other station, and it will have the most debt of any other station. It is transforming KPFA into a deficit station. And it is clearly, I understand that the National Board has, you know,
interests, but we need to protect KPFA at this time.
Thank you. But for discussion, I'll let Chris was first. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. I'm not going to get terribly off into the specifics, not because I don't think they're worth defending, but because there's a lot to this, okay? But I will mention two things. One is that this formula under question was a long debated matter at the NFC. And in fact, it dates back to Dwayne Lark, for those of you who remember Dwayne Lark. I will, however, state categorically that this wasn't intended as a torpedo to KPFA. It wasn't intended to make KPFA look bad. It was intended to provide adequate funds for central services. And I realize that KPFA has done more than its fair share in terms of that. I don't think anybody would debate that. Nobody should, because it's true. But, and that other stations haven't pulled their weight. That is also true. And I think it's KPFA's responsibility in this matter, it's hurt KPFA basically because, you know, instead of being irresponsible and keeping funds at the station, we've been responsible and sent them to central services, which we were required to do by the, as you mentioned in that document. So it's very confusing. There are a number of things that have been flying around on the listserv that I think are incorrect. I'm going to use up my 2 minutes and there's no time to discuss them, but you know, it would be nice to have like a 15-minute discussion at some point. Although this is technically my last day, I suppose appear as a guest if you wish me to in the future.
Thank you, Chris. James McFadden?
Having been part of the NFC for the last 2 years, I've been part of this debate also on the 15 and 5%. And I agree with Chris that this was not directed at anyone. It's the same rules for all of the stations. And in fact, I think the way to think of it is it's sort of like a flat tax. This is not, but going back to the old way is actually a more regressive than a flat tax. So I think this is a very fair kind of thing that's applied to all the stations. Now, whether it affects KPFA more or less just depends on how its mix of donations go. And that's just the way it is. We need money at the national office to be able to do the things that the national office needs to do. And, you know, to think that you're going to, after years of debate, to claim that this was, that the people on the PNB didn't understand this is just, I think, nonsense. You know, we understood it. We understood it all along, and this has been debated for a long time. This is a across the board, affects all stations equally, and to try to claim that it's directed at KPFA just because it impacts KPFA in some in a way, it's like saying increasing, it's like going to a tax that affects rich people more than poor people is not fair. It's just crazy. It's just this is across the board, same rules apply, and it doesn't matter what the mix of money, whether it's from big donations or small donations, it affects all of that, and that money is needed to run the national office. So I strongly disagree that this thing should just go away, and I'm hoping it doesn't get to the national board.
Thank you. I'm told to alternate. Is there someone affirmative who wishes to speak with Fred? Are you affirmative or you're muted, Fred? Yeah.
I do wish to speak on this matter. I really want to thank you for putting all this information up. I was not aware of the, Verniel issue. I simply took at face value what, some of Verniel's opponent said, and what it clearly shows me now is that Verniel was deliberately put in a position as the ED that required some substantial changes in how the network is built. I am and have been a small business owner even to say that I've had as many as 20 employees and had to make payroll and had enormous expenses, monthly expenses that had to be met. And there are two ways to run a business. One is to increase revenue and the other is to decrease expenses. Clearly, when we have a station in the number one market in the nation that has less than 1% of the share of the market, there's a problem. And that problem has been ongoing for over 10 years, that there are so many people on our LSB who are actively defending that station when it is clearly going to sink the entire network, calls into question what their long-term goals are. This is a catastrophe. I also want to thank you for putting up this, the letter that states the money that was seized from us, not for the Verniel case, but the $700,000 that was loaned to the national office is in fact being charged against on our central service fees. In other words, we are paying it. We are paying it. And that is, that was from what I saw on the screen. That was an agreement that has either not been upheld or has been changed. Regarding agreements that have been changed, I have watched and I have been extremely unhappy with the NFC, the National Finance Commission, because they seem to not understand marketing at all. You know, they seem to be.
Time.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Elizabeth, are you speaking? I take it you're speaking against, so go ahead. Supposed to alternate here.
Yeah, of course I'm speaking against, and I reiterate James McFadden's. He's a member of the National Finance Committee, and he states that it was not directed directly at KPFA at all. And I would like to venture to say as well that there has been many kind of situations where, I mean, to tell you the truth, to be able to even make a decision like this without even allowing the members of this LSB to even get access to documentation that you so like to share, but on screen only before the meeting, makes it really difficult. And also,
point of information.
You're off topic.
Excuse me, I haven't finished.
Point of information.
I haven't been allowed my. I have not been allowed my.
Point of information.
I'm not being allowed my 2 minutes, please.
We will stop your 2 minutes. I'm going to call Fred by name, and I interrupted you because you were off topic.
What's your request?
What is the request for information, Fred?
Point of information. We have been told we will receive all this material, and we will receive it.
That's correct.
No,
thank you.
Please don't go back.
Okay. But normally when you want to ask this board for acquiescence or to approve a motion such as this, you should definitely provide documentation in a timely manner and beforehand so people can look at it. Also, I'd like to state for the record that in 2016, $400,000 check was found, was basically misapplied to KPFA when it should have been sent to Pacifica, and that money was then loaned by KPFA to KPFT, which should have been paid back to Pacifica. So there's many different instances, such as money that was donor money that was used, $80,000 that was used in 2019 and sent to the firm that was defending Verniel, basically. That was not approved by this KPFA LSB or the PMB at all. So there's many different kinds of actions that KPFA has taken which have not been exposed to our listeners, yet you occupy the majority of your time to bash Pacifica and to claim victimhood, KPFA as being victims, when I would say the analogy that James McFadden is using as the rich cousins who do not want to pay because, you know, somehow or another they feel entitled. That's exactly what KPFA looks like nowadays, to tell you the truth.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
Fine. Go ahead, Sharon. You're next.
Hold on, wait. Got to start the timer. Okay, here we go. Okay. I would like to say
before you start, I want to make a point of information is that this board does not have anything to do with intercompany transfers. We have never approved or disproved intercompany transfers, which was what Ms. Milos was just referring to. So that is completely out of order. Go ahead.
Point of order.
State your point of order.
isn't this supposed to be a discussion between board members? And Sharon is not a board member.
Sharon is a treasurer.
Sharon is a treasurer.
She's not a board member.
She is a treasurer, and we have allowed it. And she has the right to speak because she gave a treasurer's report, and she's involved in this particular situation because as treasurer.
I thought it was debated amongst the board members.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay. I'm going to share my screen again and just say, you know, the other part of the central services formula is that stations are only going to have to pay 8% if they're considered to be distressed stations. And I submit that under this new central services formula, KPFA is a distressed station because we then show the second highest loss of any of the stations out there. WPFW is at $415,000 of loss, but under the new central services formula, KPFA is the second highest at over $200,000 loss. So I say that, okay, if we're going to do the 15%, then we should be, they also pass it, the distressed stations get to pay 8%, so then we should be paying 8%. That's under the current one that was passed, and that I will be putting forward at the NFC also. I wanted to say that we also don't get the amount of services that other stations get. For example, we have our own business manager, whereas other stations don't have business managers. And so they are getting more services for the money that they, well, actually don't put in. But, you know, we are not, we put in money and we don't get the full services that other stations get. And I want to also say, yes, the central service payments are for what the national office needs. That's absolutely true. And that is the only way that legal bills and insurance, things like insurance, paying for the audit, all the essential things that Pacifica needs to do, paying for the staff of the national office. The only way it can get paid is through the central services payment. But as I've already explained, when those payments aren't made, the management's response is to just write off the debt, just ignore the debt of the people that aren't paying and then start fresh with
us. Call the question.
KPFA, start fresh with KPFA paying almost half of the.
I call the question.
Payment. Excuse me, I'm talking.
You're out of order.
I call the question. I call the question. I'm using Robert's Rules of Order. I call the question.
No, you're not.
You called the question in the middle of this time.
Yes, because we've already spoken a lot, so I call the question.
You cannot interrupt a speaker. It is a violation of Robert's Rules of Order. Go ahead, Sharon, finish your presentation, and then we're going to go for a vote.
That was it. I was done.
Okay, we're coming up on public comment. So I'm going to take a vote on the original motion, which is to urge the board to rescind, essentially, the new central services basis.
I call for a roll call vote, please.
Carol, would you please call on people to vote?
Donna Carter.
No.
Aki Tanaka. Aki, how do you vote?
I'm passing.
Andrea Turner, motion to rescind. How do you vote? We'll come back. Ryan Crowell. Oops, Carol Wolfley, I vote yes. Catherine Tiktokin?
Yes.
Catherine, yes. Chris Corey?
No.
Chris, no. Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Christina, yes. Daniel Bergstrom?
Daniel votes no.
Daniel, no. Darlene Pagano?
Abstains.
Darlene abstains. Frank Sterling?
No, if you could hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
Frank votes no. Fred Dodsworth?
Votes emphatically yes, because I believe it's necessary to save the Pacifica network.
Fred, yes. Elizabeth Milos?
Against the rules to me.
No.
Elizabeth, no. James McFadden?
No.
James, no. Richard Walensky?
Yes.
Richard, yes. Lily Kimura?
Yes.
Lily, yes. Mark Van Landuit?
Yes.
Mark, yes. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach, yes. Philip Maldari?
Yes.
Tom Voorhees?
Tom votes no.
No. And going back to Andrea Turner, are you here, Andrea?
I vote yes.
Andrea, yes. All right. That is...
And Aki passed, I believe.
Aki, how do you vote?
Yeah, boy, yes.
Aki votes yes. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, I believe that's 11 yes, 7 no.
Yeah, affirmative.
Affirmative of 11.
I count 10, yes.
Okay, let's go back. Andrea Turner, Carol.
Well, it doesn't matter. It still passes. The motion is adopted because it's at least 10 yes and Jeff, 7. Yes?
I have a question when we're done with this particular item.
Okay. It's now 12:25. The motion passes to rescind, and we actually have a time certain for public comments.
I understand that. I just want to ask a question. Will I be able to present the motion that I sent to the group earlier?
Did you?
Not today.
I did it during the discussion, and it has to do with one of the items in your report.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it.
Okay, I can type it into the chat right now.
It's time certain, but we'll go into our public comments, and then we'll return.
Okay, we can return after public comment and pick it up there.
Yes. Yes.
It's the will of the body, isn't it? Point of order, Madam Chair. Because we have we also have appreciations and we have a time certain adjourn of 1 o'clock. So.
Right. Okay. Let's go ahead with the public comments now.
Anything not reached, we'll go over to the next meeting.
Yeah. Anything we don't get at this meeting, we will go on to the next meeting, carry over. So. Please, we'll go into public comments now. And I see one hand up, and I'm going to ask, Sharon to, would you time, Sharon? How many minutes do we ask?
Yes, I put 2 minutes. I mean, we can change that, but 2 minutes.
Okay. So I will call on first call in user one.
Yes, this is Jonathan Markowitz, KPFK listener member. My question, two questions and a comment. The report that was referenced by you, Christina, you were referring to some sort of document. Why wasn't this document provided to the KPFA LSB before this meeting? And that's number one. Number two, I've noticed by going to KPFTX.org that the only KPFA LSB meeting that has been posted going all the way back to April is one from September 30th. And I just want to point out that this is actually against the bylaws. So whoever has been responsible for supposedly posting these meetings, not to mention the audio from these meetings and minutes, as well as submitted agendas and any other documentation. Can you tell me why this has not been fulfilled, at least since till last April, last time I checked? So in regards to this information about Pacifica's financial history, I think it's very clear that there's a lot missing from this characterization that you, Christina, and the treasurer have outlined. And again, I call into question the veracity of your interpretation of this information in this regard, as well as the treasurer's. And I see this as a distinctly dirty political operation by your faction in the Bay Area against this network. Would you please answer my first two questions? Thank you.
I will respond.
Carol, may
Yeah, I can respond, Christina.
No, no. My question
was for Christina.
I will respond.
The question was for Christina.
Please don't yell.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I will respond after people speak. And we have Steve Zeltzer's next.
Yeah, first of all, I think that the Pacifica and KPFA need to be very clear that what is going on in Gaza is genocide and war crimes, not just by Israel, but the United States. And the corporate media have been part and parcel of the lies and the propaganda supporting these war crimes. I think that Pacifica needs to have a national day of programming on what's going on in Gaza, because right now there's a mass movement developing in the United States. In my union, the journalist union, and healthcare workers who are mobilizing all the country, and Pacifica and KPFA needs to be covering these things live, some of these rallies. There have been mass rallies in San Francisco and around the country, but in the Bay Area, we can have live coverage. And I think that when I get on the board, I'm going to push for that, that KPFA start to have live coverage of the mass movement against the violations of the rights and the genocide that's going on. Secondly, I'm very concerned that there was this trial or arbitration around the issue of the $300,000 that members of this board apparently were supporting Vernili, who is trying to keep his $300,000, which he took from KPFA. I have a real question why members of the local station board would support Vernili, who is fighting against the $305,000 going back to KPFA and Pacifica. I think it's really unethical, and I think that we need that money back for the operation of KPFA and Pacifica. And lastly, I think we need transparency. I agree with the previous speaker, Jonathan. There are no reports. The minutes are not brought forward to the members.
Thank you. Stan, you're next. Stan W. Stan, we can't hear you. Stan, you need to unmute yourself. Stan.
Go on and come back to
him. I guess we'll go to Rich Stone next, and I'll revisit Stan. He's not unmuted. Rich, go ahead.
Yes. Hi. My name is Rich. For those who don't know, I have, served before on the community advisory board, and in the last two election cycles, I have also run for the LSB and enjoyed late. I guess I'm presuming that the vote for condemning Israel and invading Gaza apparently hasn't passed. My apologies if that is wrong. Someone can correct me. But also, the second point I wanted to make, I'm hoping that moving forward that everyone will be able to fight it with themselves to go back to the old method of single transferable vote in terms of reinstating the candidates that were involved back in 2022 for the community for the reestablishment of the community advisory board as it was prior to the pandemic during the times that I served. So moving forward, I'm hoping that we can actually find the ability to do it and reinstate a legitimate voting process in recreating a more balanced community advisory board. That's all I have to say for now. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Stan is now unmuted, so go ahead, Stan.
Yeah, sorry, I had a tech problem. Couple of things. First off, I was very pleased to hear last night the Pacifica National Board passed a motion calling for dedicated programming to the Israel's war on Gaza, and also it calling for a ceasefire. I was displeased and upset to hear that some of our KPFA reps voted against it or abstained. I'm not going to say who. I hope they'll answer at some point for that. We do deserve to know. And I really think that, and I understand today there's going to be a mass rally outside the California State Democratic Convention, in support of a resolution that would call on, immediate ceasefire and also releasing all prisoners, Israeli and Palestinian. I doubt very much it will pass, but it'll be very interesting to see what the turnout will be, et cetera. One last thing. I recently campaigned, as part of the Rescue Pacific Slate for the LSB. Unfortunately lost, came in second runner up. Who knows? I may end up on the board a year from now. We'll see how it goes. But one thing I ran into from numerous people, including people who were voting for some candidates from my slate and some candidates from the KPFA Protector slate, wondering when is the station going to fully reopen? Every other radio and TV station that I know of in the San Francisco Bay Area has fully reopened. Every city council has in-person meetings, albeit hybrid, but still in-person meetings. Every union executive board. So why not KPFA? And so anyway, and I also want to give props to James McFadden, who was the only, he doesn't mind him, his name being mentioned, who voted in favor, the only KPFA delegate who voted in favor of the resolution on Gaza and calling for a ceasefire. So a couple of things I want you to consider. I hope KPFA will pass, LSB will pass a similar motion and dedicate a lot more of their programming to what's going on in Gaza and be on the right side. KPFA doesn't have to be neutral on this, shouldn't be neutral. And secondly, I do think listeners want to know, including listeners who don't always agree with me or Rescue Pacifica, when is the station to reopen? That's a financial issue too. Thank you.
Thank you. Virginia's next.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Virginia. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to thank James McFadden for voting for the resolution on the PNB in support of a ceasefire. It's horrifying to so many people. As we know that for years and years, Palestine has been basically an open air prison, and now people are being denied food, medicine, water, and the president of the Israel has publicly said that they want to wipe the Palestinians off the face of the earth, and it looks like that's what they're doing. So I think that, you know, if this were World War II and the Nazis were doing, you know, killing massive numbers of people, it would be right for an entity like Pacifica to vote against that, to put their name in public. And I think that Pacifica should make a very public statement denouncing the movements of Israel. Thanks.
Thank you. That next would be Anthony. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yes, three points to make. Not sure why the KPFA LSB spent so much time rehashing WBAI issues going back years and years and telling us that, oh, there was a plan to restore and rebuild WBAI after it was forcibly shut down. Now, just maybe had the WBAI listeners and staff been told about that supposed plan, maybe they might have discussed it and bought into it or arrived at some kind of compromise. But shutting down a radio station is no way to win friends. Point number two, where is the technical competence on the LSB? The link to today's meeting that was posted on KPFTX, that link didn't work. It led to a so-called executive session. There was no executive session, and we couldn't have attended had there been one. And also it said that executive session was scheduled to start at 11:45 p.m. So whoever on the LSB is interacting with KPFTX either needs to get their act together or be replaced. And lastly, and most important. I second the remarks of Steve Zeltzer and Stan Woods about Gaza. I'm wondering, has the LSB said nothing? Or did they say, well, the PNB addressed it, so we don't have to? You might well say nobody cares about what LSB says on world events, but I still say you got to stand up and be counted. Remember, we are supposed to be an anti-war station. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me see. Is there anybody else wishing to talk? I see an 832 phone number that's asking to talk. 832?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, this is Nancy Seibar, and I'm coming from KPFT. I'd like to remind you, if we do get that money back from, was it 300 and 5,000, I want to remind the KPFA, LSB, that in 2014, your national director, Janet Coburn, found a check that was written to the Pacifica Foundation for about 400,000. And it was, for some reason, mistakenly deposited into the KPFA coffers and then lent about, I think, 180,000 to KPFT to buy a new transmitter in 2014. In 2015, the PNB decided that was a mistake. That money should have gone straight to the national office, not to KPFA, and KPFA needs to pay that over 200,000 back to the national office. So when you get that money, you better pay the national office. But there has been an announcement of our KPFD IGM that he's sending the installment payments for that transmitter loan to KPFA. Why is this happening? I mean, he just sent 50,000 to KPFA in the summer. Something is greatly wrong, and the Pacifica business manager is mistaken, and so is the ED. Okay, that's money thing. So I want to also say about you should stand up. We did in KPFT, and we voted for an anti-war, anti-genocide of what's going on in Gaza. Although one of our directors said, well, we need more time to think about this, which is kind of weird. like she didn't know anything about what's going on in Gaza. But we did pass it unanimously.
Time. That's time.
Thank you.
Christina, I hope you could hear me. I would like to make a comment, please.
Who's speaking?
Maria.
Oh, Maria. Okay.
I am speaking from information that is accurate and I can prove. We, to the gentleman who said, why don't we open the doors? We'd love to open the doors. Believe me. I would love to go into the station and meet everybody. However, we do not have liability insurance. We do not have earthquake insurance. Supposedly we have workman's comp insurance, but if people come into the station and get hurt, Pacifica / KPFA will be sued its pants off. So that's number one. Number two, that $400,000 check that was so talked about years ago, if anybody would like to see the documentation on that, my doors are open, always are. That original bequest, the lady who unfortunately passed away, very specifically put KPFA in her will. The check was written out to Pacifica because Pacifica is the 501c3, is the federal ID number. We get checks to Pacifica that are $5, $10, $50, $500. We are all Pacifica. So that check was intended for us and only for us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Maria. So not seeing anybody new wanting to speak. I'll just make one comment and then we'll go into we have a call-in user one.
Yes, this is Jonathan Markowitz. I did ask you specifically, Christina.
Yeah, I was about to answer you, Jonathan.
Okay, but I do have a comment, an answer to the person who just spoke.
No, that's inappropriate.
It is very appropriate. This is still public.
You've already spoken, and I'm going to respond to what you said before, Jonathan. Okay. So first of all, I've given many presentations over the years, and I have 34 years of union organizing and community organizing. And, I always, when I give a presentation, we were taught in many of our workshops that you give the document supporting it to the people afterwards. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're give it to them ahead of time, they're busy reading the documentation and not paying attention to the presentation. So that's number one. I did state I was going to provide all the documentation that I used to support what I was saying, to our board members. Second of all,
I'm sorry, but that is in contradiction to
you're out of order. It's inappropriate for you to do that.
Of order. This is a public comment period.
Public comment period is over, and I told everybody.
You are incorrect, Christina.
There was nobody's hand up at the time.
You are incorrect, Christina.
So let me make a statement here. This is why we have rules of order in our meeting, because it turns into a yelling fest, and that happens at a lot of different stations. There was nobody's hand up when I said we're through with public comments. So that is why I closed it off.
There were
hands up.
Point of order is not well taken.
Your point of order is not well taken. And further comment is out of order. I wanted to let people know that people who want people to come into the station, the executive director has stated she wants nobody else in the station.
Who is whispering in your ear?
Because they have no liability insurance. And in fact, they're being sued by the former insurance company for misstating, for leaving things out for their directors and officers insurance as well. So there are serious financial problems here. The reason that I brought up the documentation about WBAI is because they're continuing to bleed out money, and we need the board to actually take corrective action to help make BAI be successful, whatever that may look like. So everything that I stated was not opinion. I read from the documents that were available at the time. So, and that's specifically why I provided the documentation then. So I think we're going to move on, go back, because we already closed out the minutes. Take up the minutes now. Are there any corrections?
Present the documents now.
Are there any corrections to the minutes? You'll be removed from the meeting.
Yes, I do have corrections to the minutes.
Okay, please state your corrections.
The correction is that the order of operations, the order that things took place, is incorrect. The last motion that was presented outside the time certain at 1:02 p.m. And there is no, not even the recording has been placed of the last meeting, but there is substantial proof that it happened after that time. And
what motion?
The motion of the ethics of the ethics committee that was presented outside the time certain at the end of the actual meeting that we had at the LSB. So the order that it says there on the minutes is incorrect. It happened afterwards.
Although the time had passed, the meeting had not yet adjourned. And no one objected at the time that the motion was passed. So,
well, you didn't allow any objections. You did not even allow any objections. You had people muted, and any time anybody says anything, you mute.
It's argumentative, okay? And I did not mute everybody.
Actually, yes, you muted me.
Are there any other corrections to the minutes?
Carol for the stack.
Go ahead, Carol.
Is there a correction
for minutes? Is there a correction you have of the minutes, Carol?
And the motion was not even presented beforehand. It was not even presented beforehand.
I have a point of order regarding.
Is there any corrections to the minutes, Carol?
No.
Since there are no corrections, the minutes are approved.
PNB reports is next.
I'd like to make a formal complaint regarding the fact that public comments were being silenced.
Not well taken.
Your point is not well taken.
We're now on.
We're now
on. What the hell is whispering in your ear, Christina?
And the PNB reports now. You will be removed from our meeting. We have rules of order in our meeting. You might yell out like that at the KPFK meetings, but you will not yell out at our LSB meeting for KPFA. We will not descend into some sort of chaos. So we're going to go to the PNB reports at this point. And I know James McFadden had wanted to make a report. So I'll let him begin because he had asked to speak before.
Yes, I'd like to report on two things. One, on the motions that were passed at the National Board supporting Gaza. There were two motions passed. The first I'm going to read. The Pacific and National Board seeks to craft and air several days of must-carry national programming to explore, educate, and facilitate critical thinking about the nature and causes of the conflict in the Middle East. This will be organized and led by the PNB Programming Committee in collaboration with the network and the affiliates. This will be implemented immediately. So the idea is to develop some national programming in addition, as all the stations are clearly, you know, doing programming on this, but to develop some kind of coordinated national programming, you know, to keep this in the spotlight as the disaster and murder of children, you know, continues. And then the second motion that was passed, which I'm going to read now, whereas we Pacificans condemn any type of violence and cannot remain silent in the face of the horrifying events in Israel and Gaza, and whereas Mahatma Gandhi said, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind, therefore it is resolved that the Pacific and National Board of Directors vehemently condemns the tragic loss of hundreds of innocent lives in Israel and the tragic loss of thousands of innocent lives in Gaza, and makes an urgent call to all political actors demanding an immediate stop of the senseless carnage with an immediate ceasefire. And I was very happy to support this last motion, and I was really disappointed that none of the other directors from KPFA voted yes on that motion. You know, it really saddened me, but it did pass at the national level. And I think it's important and imperative for the LSB here, to correct that wrong and pass a motion along those same lines, and perhaps even a stronger motion, you know, in support of a ceasefire in Gaza, because this murder of children that's continuing is just horrific, and we need to do something. And silence is violence. So not saying anything about this is a violent act. And if you don't understand that, then you need to go rethink what your morals are. That's my report.
Thank you. Aki, do you have a report? Aki, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I'll report here. Let me get my report up.
Sure.
So we had four PNB meetings since our last KPFA meeting. One of the major things that happened, of course, is the successful delegate selection, thanks to Renee Penarosa. So she came and reported on the election. Everything was okay on that front. The other side is that over the last three meetings, because of the election is over, as you all know, there's a contending LSB at KPFK. One is recognized by the PNB and one that is self-recognized. And the issue has been raised as to, aside from the 12 people that were newly elected, who of the two LSB should be seated in the next coming year. So the PNB had an ad hoc committee set up to look into this. And then at the last meeting, there was the report read by the chair of the ad hoc committee and also a minority report of that committee. And so the issue is still ongoing. So that's something that PNB has to resolve within this year. Anyway, that's my report.
Thank you, Aki. Fred, do you have a report for us?
Oh, yes. For those who don't know, I served as the executive director of the Alameda Contra Costa Trial Lawyers Association for more than a year, and I've done work with the San Francisco Trial Lawyers Association, and I've had a lot of experience with the law, and so it was rather interesting for me to watch Arthur Schwartz attempt to reverse the ruling of the arbitrators. I originally agreed to attend the meeting live until I was informed that Arthur would only be given 10 minutes to voice his opinions and his attempt to overrule that that judgment that had been enacted. And I have to say that I have seen a lot of lawyers in action. And I was extremely disturbed by his lack of focus on what the actual issues were. He attempted to relitigate the entire case, which is not what is allowed. The three judges that stood in on the court in that matter kept bringing him back to the reality that you're only given the permission to overrule an arbitration in a very, very limited number of circumstances. And Arthur completely seemed to ignore that. And I can't say in my experience over 20 years with the legal system that I was surprised by their decision, but their demeanor on the bench. I think that it is incredibly unlikely that the decision will be reversed. And I think it was frankly a waste of his time and our revenues. He made the joke that he only spent $600, but that's $600 on top of the $5,000 a month that he receives. And I was rather surprised that the service he gave was so inept. And that's my report on the Verniel case. I'm really, really appreciative of what I learned today, because I've never actually been informed about the Verniel case. And clearly, Verniel was doing what he believed to be ordered to do. And I was, I frankly think we're in the same situation today. We are still running enormous deficits at WBAI, and I don't see any turnaround. This is going to sink the network if we don't fix this problem.
Thank you, Fred. Darlene, do you have any report for us?
Yes. I chair the personnel committee of the board. And that always happens when I'm asked to speak suddenly. Sorry.
Okay.
So the personnel committee is in process. It's going pretty well. It's in process of doing the annual evaluation of the executive director, except the executive director's already been working for 23 months, but we're still calling it the annual report, and that is a that will be sent as a summary report to the PNB for their consideration. Also, there hasn't been an evaluation of any executive director in over 10 years that I can find in the records. The other thing about the personnel committee is that we were questioned about the LSBs being part of such an evaluation of the executive director, and some research was done in the bylaws to find out where that stands. And there is a section in the bylaws which happens to be the executive director section of the bylaws. I think it's section 9. And LSBs can evaluate the executive director. And so reported to the PNB that yes, LSBs can do an evaluation of the executive director. The PNB does their evaluation through the personnel committee of the PNB. But yes, LSBs, should they want to, can submit a report of an evaluation to the PNB themselves. And there's not a particular schedule on that, but it's a can do that. And I believe amended to that motion was the fact that the PNB will be able to review any LSB evaluation of the PNB after the LSB who's presenting has already submitted and completed their evaluation of the general manager and their program director. So that was coming up for the personnel committee. And the other thing was that there was an ED report, but I have to say the chart that was at the very end of the financial presentation of each station, which is going to be sent to you, that chart completely covers what the ED reported in open session.
Thank you. I would, it is now 1 o'clock and we have a time certain end. So any business?
I move to adjourn.
No, we need to do the recognitions, don't we?
I move to adjourn.
I oppose. I object.
Just say, announce any business that's not reachable.
Any business that we did not get to will be carried over to the next meeting. So we will adjourn the meeting since we had a time certain end. Thank you all for being here today.
This is Franklin. Can I say a little something real quick?
No.
Meeting stands
adjourned. Meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.